Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, Text Number 13. Kshetra Gaya Namastubhyam Sarvadya Dakshaya Sakshine Purusha Yatma Mulaya Mula Prakritaye Namaha Kshetra Gyaya. Unto the one who knows everything of the external body. Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances. Tubhyam. Unto you. Sarva. Everything. Adyakshaya. Who are superintending, managing. Sakshine. Who are the witness. Paramatma or Antaryami. Purushaya. The Supreme Person. Atma Mulaya. Who are the original source of everything. Mula Prakritaye. Unto the Purusha avatar, the origin of Prakriti and Pradhana. Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the super soul, the superintendent of everything, and the witness of all that occurs. You are the Supreme Person, the origin of material nature, and of the total material energy. You are also the owner of the material body. Therefore, you are the Supreme Complete. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 13.3, the Lord says, Kshetra gyam chapi mam vidi sarva kshetre shu bharata. O son of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. Every one of us is thinking, I am this body, or this is my body. But actually the truth is different. Our bodies are given to us by the Supreme Proprietor. The living entity, who is also Kshetra Gya, or the knower of the body, is not the body's only proprietor. The actual proprietor of the body is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is the Supreme Kshetra Gya? For example, we may rent and occupy a house, but actually the owner of the house is the landlord. Similarly, we may be allotted a certain type of body as a facility with which to enjoy this material world, but the actual proprietor of the body is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is called Sarva Dyaksha, because everything in the material world works under his supervision. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.10, wherein the Lord says, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. This material nature working under my direction, O son of Kunti, is producing all moving and non-moving beings. From Prakriti, or material nature, come so many varieties of living entities, including aquatics, plants, trees, insects, birds, animals, human beings, and demigods. Prakriti is the mother, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the father. Aham bija praja pradak pita. Prakriti can give us material bodies, but as spiritual souls, we are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This confirmed the Bhagavad Gita 15.7. Mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhutak sanatana. The living entity, being part and parcel of God, is not a product of this material world. Therefore, the Lord is described in this verse as Atma Mula, the original source of everything. He is the seed of all existences, Bijamam Sarabhutanam. Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Sarva Yonishi Kondaya Mortayak Sambhavantiya Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir Aham Bija Pradakpitaha. It should be understood that all living entities and all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. Plants, trees, insects, aquatic gods, beasts, birds, and all the living entities are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. But because they are struggling with different mentalities, they have been given different types of bodies. Manakshastran Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshite. Thus they have become sons of Prakriti, or material nature, which is impregnated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every living entity in this material world is struggling for existence, and the only salvation or relief from the cycle of birth and death in the evolutionary process is full surrender. This is indicated by the words, Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Kshetragyam namastubhyam sarvadyakshaya sakshine purushadyatma mulaya tiye namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the Supersoul, the superintendent of everything, and the witness of all that occurs. You are the Supreme Person, the origin of material nature, and of the total material energy. You're also the owner of the material body, therefore you are the Supreme Complete. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. In this verse it explains that we are spiritual beings within the material body, and that there's another being with us, namely the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that this body has been given to us by Prakriti, under the superintendence of Krishna. And the only way of getting out of this situation is to surrender to Krishna. Simple philosophy. Simple but difficult to accept. Because of our attachment to the conception that we're something special. As a matter of fact, we're the most special thing. And everything else is revolving around us. The sun rises in the morning to shine on us, and it goes down so we can go to sleep. Otherwise, the sun is useless. Similarly, everyone else in this material world is just another sub-actor in our grand drama that's going on. Simply a supporting actor or actress. And of course, we're the center of that drama, usually imagining that we're either Radha or Krishna. As I've said many times, Radha and Krishna have expanded themselves in the material world as Tarzan and Jane, Romeo and Juliet, Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, and the supporting actors of Donald Duck and Goofy, etc. So in this way, we're living in a dream. Dreams also have some substance because they're made out of subtle energy. And our present dream that we're having, it's not exactly our dream, is Mahavishnu's dream, because he's created this dream for us. But in this dream, we're imagining that things are real in the sense that there are pastimes, but they're unreal in the sense that they're not our pastimes. We're simply the observer and the experiencer of these different activities that are being conducted by the material energy. And the material energy itself is just a combination and permutations of natural energy, which are transformations of Krishna's energy, such as Pradhan, as mentioned here. Pradhan and Prakriti. Anyhow, it seems like we take it very seriously, and therefore that's why we're entangled. And of course, we don't, the way of taking it seriously is to, first of all, recognize that we're not the only person in this body. And that the actual person who's supervising everything and should get the credit because it's his material energy that he's supervising is Krishna. And at every moment, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, that super soul is guiding us and arranging for us is either his material energy or his external energy. And we're simply going along for the ride. Of course, we have our part to play, which is the most, a very significant part in the sense that we're desiring. That according to our conditioning, according to the body we get, we automatically get certain desires. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the example. Well, here Prabhupada mentions, Mamai vangso jiva loke, jiva bhutak sanatana, manakshastran indriyani prakriti stani. That the living entities are ourselves, we're all part of Krishna. Which should be encouraging, because we're have the same quality as Krishna to a small extent. Same quality, at least 55 qualities that Krishna has, but in very tiny amount. Such as Krishna has beautiful bodily features, so the spirit soul in its original form has beautiful bodily features. It has knows all these different languages. It's wise, it's intelligent, it's expert. So, but we're struggling in the material world, and what is that struggle? Because the living entity is not doing anything, is not entangled, it's struggling with its desires. Material nature is offering in this subtle form so many opportunities, and we don't know what to choose. And we're just impelled to choose something according to the modes we're conditioned by, and then we wind up in greater difficulty. As Prahlad Maharaj said, I've tried so hard to try to avoid, to try to solve my problems. But every time I solve one problem, five other problems would appear. So that's very good to keep us engaged since time immemorial in solving problems. It's like that boy with the dike in Holland. The dike was breaking, so he put his finger in one hole, then another hole appeared, and he put his finger in that one. Then he put his foot in the next hole, another hole, head. But problem not solved. As a matter of fact, he was simply creating more problems for himself. Called the tar baby effect. Tar baby means you stick your hand into the tar baby and it gets stuck. You want to pull it out, so you put your other hand in to pull it out and that gets stuck. And then you put your foot in to pull out your hands and that gets stuck. Then you put in your other foot to pull out your hands and your foot, and that gets stuck. And that way you get stuck into the tar baby. So the material world is like that. We're trying so many different ways to solve our problems and just getting more and more entangled. Now here it says the only way of getting out of it is surrender to Krishna. The last thing that most people are thinking about. How many people are actually thinking, I must surrender to God? First of all, most people don't even believe he exists. And if they believe that there's something like God, called God, they don't think he's there to surrender to. They want God to surrender to them. Otherwise, he's not a good God. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, Mithirana Krishne Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Ratanam. Material means our consciousness. So everything depends on our consciousness. Where we're putting our consciousness. People have gone so far off, they don't really care where they put their consciousness. They think their only consciousness is fun. That's all we're here for, is to have a good time. And therefore they put so-called fun in the mode of passion or ignorance, it's not very much fun, really. It's a lot of disturbance. Fun watching people fight with each other. That kind of fun is in the mode of ignorance. You can watch it, you don't want to participate because you might get hurt. But you feel yourself powerful, you simply choose one person, one of the fighters, you choose them as the hero, and you feel that you're victorious. You're victorious if your hero wins, and you've been defeated if your hero loses. It's simply mental speculation, which is a kind of sense gratification. So where we put our consciousness is very important. Krishna wants us to put our consciousness on Him, and if we don't want to do that, then we have to put it into the modes of material nature, into this material nature, usually nowadays in ignorance and passion, love affairs and wars. That's all people watch. Even their video games. You're 3 years old, they finally give you a phone, 2 years late. And along with the phone comes 10 video games. Half of them are in a dungeon with dragons. You're trying to kill the dragon before he eats you. And the other half, you're on a warfare, on a battlefield with tanks and, you know, airplanes and atomic bombs and destroying things and etc. Blood's all over your computer, but you're victorious. Therefore, you're a good person. And they give you the virtual Medal of Honor afterwards. And you're proud. You show it to your friends. I'm a hero. I killed the dragon. So people are trained up since birth, practically speaking. Probably when the child was in the womb, the mother was playing video games. If the child is lucky enough to make it out of the womb, then it follows its acharyas. And what is this whole thing? Why are they slaying the dragon? Why is this war going on? These love affairs or this romance? What's the whole thing about? Is ultimately just to avoid death. Somehow or another, sanyeshu, atma sanyeshu satsupi. Somehow or another, get the soldiers, whether it's your wife or your army, whatever it is, or your husband or the dog. These are soldiers, protect our near and dear body from death. And therefore, everyone's putting their consciousness, making arrangements, how can we avoid death? Either personally, survival skills, or collectively, making nations make treaties with each other or alignments with each other, or neighbors vow that they help each other in times of emergency, or a combination of both. I practice my karate and my neighbor practices judo, so we make a good combination. And what's the whole thing? So we can continue on with the sense gratification process. And what is the sense gratification process? Griha vratanam. Somehow or another, remain in this body, make it strong and healthy, so we can eat as much as we like, we can sleep and have sex, and be able to defend all our accumulated, everything we've accumulated. And then we have a nice family. They're all eating well and becoming strong soldiers in our war against death. Similarly, we have to have a nice society, community, in the war against death. And maybe even all humanity will line up together and protect us from death. But everyone's dying anyhow. Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gacchanti, yamalayam, sheshastavar, ichchanti, kemascharyam, atakpuram. In spite of all this endeavor, all these trillions of dollars spent, protect us or others from death. Even nowadays, they say there's a group of people trying to eliminate much of the population of the world. Why are they doing it? Because they want to protect themselves from death. They think that these people, they're eating too much, and maybe there won't be something for me. Soon, I only have a few billion dollars, and soon the carrot is going to cost, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. So if I eliminate everyone, then the carrot will be cheaper, and I'll be able to afford it. And I'll survive. And just what is that? Griha ratanam adantago biravishatam tamizram. Just so we can make sure we can eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Because that's where all the happiness is. Unto the end of life. But punak punas charvita charvanam. And it's simply the same thing over and over and over again. It's not that today we're going to eat and our hair or our seek will stand on end. Unless we're eating prasadam very nicely. Or when we sleep, then we'll be in ecstasy. We go to sleep at night and, you know, we're just completely ecstatic in our dream. And of course, sex is the main preoccupation, as if it's going to, you know, even they used to, sometimes some people say sex is spiritual. It brings you to the spiritual world. If you go to the spiritual world, you'll find a lot of rabbits there. Because they're expert at sex. So that's their idea. And on top of it all, protect everything. You can have defense. Your bank balance, your martial arts skills, your alliances with your family and relatives and neighbors and whatever. So the whole thing is, somehow or another, squeeze some happiness out of the idea that we're surviving here. We're not going to die. Vishnu. They don't know that the solution for eternity, to become eternal, is to take shelter of Krishna. If we actually utilize our opportunities that we have for Krishna service, then we'll become eternal. We'll realize we're eternal. We're already eternal. But the problem is we don't know that we're eternal. It's like the example is given of a deer. A deer, if you ever smelled musk, it's such a very exquisite aroma. So the deer, because it has musk in its belly, in the belly button, is always smelling musk, but he doesn't know where it came from. So he's always searching the forest, trying to figure out where it came from, but it's right in his belly button. Don't tell the deer, though, then his search will end. Similarly, we're eternal. We are eternal. We don't have to become eternal. There's nothing in the material world that will make us eternal. There's no arrangement that will make us more eternal than we already are. We're already eternal, and by nature, when our senses are pure, then we can see that, we can realize that, and we can realize everyone else is eternal also, and that this whole endeavor to become eternal is just a completely waste of time, because that's who we are. Simply, we have to wake up and find out. And that's why following Krishna's instructions. Therefore, Krishna in the beginning says, you're all eternal, and tolerate the material energy, surrender to me, and then you'll get not only eternality, but you'll also get me, who are the supreme eternal. So that's the choice we want to make. We can keep on struggling here, or we can understand how Krishna is guiding us as a super soul, and that the only solution to our problems is surrender to Krishna. Everything else will be ultimately a failure to what we're actually trying to achieve, get free from fear and anxiety, which accompany old age, disease, death, and the prospect of taking another birth in one of the 8,400,000 species of life. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
We have a question from Avadhuta Rai Prabhu.
Surprise.
In Srimad Bhagavatam 8.7.30, we can read, O Lord, your shadow is seen in irreligion. The three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, which brings about various creations, are you three eyes?
Are your three eyes?
Yes. Yeah. And the question is, how the gunas are the eyes?
Well, the gunas are not the eyes. They're the modes of material nature. But this is figuratively, they're Krishna's eyes. Krishna sees everything. So why can't he see through the three modes also? He's everywhere. He's in everyone's heart. But the three modes are working under his direction. He's aware of everything. He's also aware of the three modes. And he knows what mode we're choosing to work under. And therefore he makes the arrangements through his material nature. He knows our desire, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. So Krishna is aware because he's omniscient of everything that goes on, including our own desires, what we're choosing. And therefore we get the results of that through his material nature or his spiritual nature. We choose to dovetail our desires with him. But this is just figuratively in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna sees through the three modes. He sees through everything, including the three modes.
Thank you. We have a second question. If I heard well, yesterday Gita class was also about Vishvamitra. Just a note, as per one Purana, he could become a Brahmana only when he gave up his rivalry to Vashishta, and paying his obeisances to him, got his blessings. If you like, please comment.
Yeah, it's good to, if I saw Vashishta, I'd pay my obeisances too. He's quite a powerful Brahmin. It's not good to offend a powerful Brahmin like Vashishta Muni. It's good to pay obeisances to him, or any other Brahmin.
And the third question, thank you very much. Krishna says to Uddhava to go to take bath in the rivers of Badarikashrama to become free from sinful reactions. Was Uddhava already not a pure Mahabhagavata devotee? And how to understand these words of Krishna?
Well, if you take birth in a holy, take bath in a holy river, like the Gandhari or others, then you get free from sinful reactions. So at least to set an example to others. But also, these are sacred rivers. When you take bath in them, you make spiritual advancement too, even if you're a great devotee. Therefore, Krishna says they're purifying even for the great souls. Sacrifice, charity, and penance are purifying even for the great souls. So there's no question, when you take bath in a river like the Gandhari, for others, and you remember Krishna, then you become even more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But for someone like Uddhava, he's not becoming pure, freed from sinful reactions. He's just becoming more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But to set the example for others, Krishna tells him to do that. Khwala, Granthara, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.